Your pastor advised me that this is a year when you're looking at John's Gospel, so that's what we're doing today. One of the great gifts to me when I was pastor here was that I learned to love children's books again. And ever since, I have been deeply devoted to sharing and preserving stories. And more recently, and especially, life stories. Stories as a way of learning. In one sense, we all know something about stories. As children, we love stories. We read stories. I can remember really clearly asking Mum to tell us a story. We loved the moments when our parents told us stories. But as we grow up, we learn other things: maths, science, economics, all the things we do for our work, and very easily we come to think that stories are for children, only for children. And we are told stories are fiction. They're not true. They're not real. We think that stories are just imagination, not really real. How wrong. Stories have a special power to open themselves to us, to gather us into the story. The story becomes somehow open so that we are part of it. Children even use this expression, having a story. We become part of it. We enter into it. It carries us along. We find ourselves in the story. But then too, we also find that somehow stories open us. They open us to things that maybe we haven't seen before, or maybe we didn't want to know before. But the story gives us a way of coming to it, seeing it, knowing it. And the third chapter of John's Gospel is just such a story, an excellent example. Now, it's a story that probably many of us know very well. Or we think we know it well. It has lots of the ingredients, the basic ingredients of a really good story. It begins with a dark, mysterious stranger to us. We don't know who he is, except that he is a Pharisee, a religious teacher who comes to Jesus at night. He's mentioned a number of times in John's Gospel, and every time he is mentioned, it is said that he came to Jesus at night. That's what's said about him. Why he comes at night, cloak and dagger-like, we're not told. That's part of the mystery, and the mystery gets deeper. The plot thickens because this teacher is now cast in a different light. We have a teacher who does not understand, and John's Gospel is full of these kinds of challenges. The blind who can see while the sighted do not, the Lord who is a servant, and here, the teacher who doesn't understand. Jesus speaks of a different birth, The teacher asks, how is it possible to be born all over again? And then Jesus uses this great play on words, which is so significant in this gospel. The ideas of spirit and wind. In Greek, they're the same word. In Hebrew, they're the same word. Spirit and wind. Breath. The wind blows here and there, and so too does the spirit. Can you catch it? Now you can. Now you can't. Can you see it? Now you can. Now you can't. And the play on words and images opens new possibilities. Things of earth, things of heaven. And then Jesus casts this new image, drawing from another very old story, the story of Moses, who lifted a snake on a pole to help the people at a time when people were dying from a plague of snakes. But Jesus says that the Son of Man, that him, himself, will be lifted up on a pole, a cross of execution, and again new life will come from that. But you come to realize this story of Jesus and Nicodemus, which has been going along with all these ideas and this to and fro, this rapid burst of ideas and a bit of a debate, and we, the readers, have been just following it along and wondering what's the next bit in the dialogue, suddenly we realize that what was a private conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus is now a public event. John, the gospel writer and preacher, has taken this story and done something quite remarkable with it. It's no longer a private chat. Jesus is now presented with these great public pronouncements, one of which you probably learned as a Sunday school memory verse and have known for a very long time. John 3:16. We come here to this great declaration that God has so loved the world. God has sent Jesus, and everyone who trusts in him will have life. How this happens is not explained. Just as all the wonderful gifts and acts of God are never explained. Rather, the hearers, and in our case the readers, are invited to decide, where are we in the story? Where do we belong in this story, whether we want to be those who trust or whether the light, which we're going to hear about, has become just a little bit too much for us. Suddenly, Nicodemus has dropped out of the story altogether. We don't know what he thinks of this. We don't know what he makes of it, because the story is no longer about him. The Nicodemus story has opened out to include us, the hearers, the readers. It's us now, coming in the night, or trying to work out, or whether we prefer to remain in the darkness. And as we reflect on this story, we can see that it's actually a story about God. It's about a God who comes to us and gathers us into a community of the Spirit, into the story of God. It's the story of God, the Trinity, all there in this little and very familiar story. There is God who is the source of all, giver of all life, lover of the world. There is Jesus, the Son, the storyteller, probing, provoking, making this love real. There is the Spirit, mysterious, will-o'-the-wisp, enticing, inviting, bringing new life. And this story of God whirls and swirls and twirls in a Trinitarian dance, which is how the ancient thinkers talked of the Trinity, a circular dance like your good old Congo dance that gathers us in into the community of God. Now, something has happened to us. This story is happening right here and now, today. For in the telling of the story, we discover that we've become part of the Spirit community, a community in which the Spirit gathers us into the life of God. We discover ourselves in the context of God. When I was a kid, we often used to play games of hide and seek in the dark. We'd turn out all the lights and creep around the rooms in the house, trying not to be noticed by the person who was it. But then sometimes, maybe someone was a bit scared or lost, so we would turn on the lights. Suddenly, the blinding light, and everyone discovered where everyone else was. We realised where we were. Someone has switched on the light, and suddenly we realise where we are. We are there with Jesus. And we have to decide whether we want to be in the light, or do we prefer darkness? I want to suggest to you that this is a really helpful image of what it means to be the church. We're a community of people who discover that our lives and our stories are lived and told in the presence of God, which we may or may not have ever realized. The spiritual community is a group of people who are becoming aware that we are part of the great story of God. We've come to realize what it means to be in the light. I'd like to share with you just a little of how this happened to me. An important part of this realization or discovery came to me through reading and thinking about Psalm 19, which we read together today. This great psalm presents a whole lot of images of God. Here God is the Lord of all the world and all truth and all value for life. And the writer senses the presence and purpose of God in all things. Everything belongs to God. Now, I can still remember what it meant to me when I first began to understand this psalm. I was a university student at the time, and I had come from the kind of church which divided all reality into two very unequal parts. There were the things of God and the things of the world. There was God's truth, which is recorded in the Bible, and there was all the rest. And there were God's people, most of whom were Baptists. And there were all the rest, the world. And this seemed to suggest that the sooner we escaped from this world, the better. And the less time we mixed with any of those other people, the better. But somehow, you know, that didn't add up. And particularly when a period of my life when I was in very deep distress, the people who were kindest to me were not Baptists, and some of them said they were not Christians. And certainly now I can see that this way of seeing things was the opposite of how Jesus related to people. But that came a bit later. This psalm says that God is everywhere. It sees God everywhere. The heavens are telling the glory of God. And it goes on to speak of God's presence in the whole creation, speaking even without words. And there's imagery here of God's presence, like the rising of the sun, and I noticed connection with imagery from the Greek philosopher Plato, whom I was studying. And perhaps I began to think that God's truth, well, God is in fact in all truth, that all truth is God's. God's wisdom is found in many places and in many books and in the depths of all things. And gradually, and then quite dramatically, my own encounter with God began to change, to become more open. And I began to trust in a different vision of God. I began to see that all truth is God's truth, no matter what questions we asked, I would never be separated from God. For God was already there. Or as another psalm puts it, if I run to the point of sunrise, God is already there. And I began to sense, maybe my life is meant to be like a flower which grows and opens, not in the dark, but in the light of God's midday sun. Now, there are also demands as well as promises in this psalm, inviting me to know and follow the word and the way of God. They have become for me not rules, but an invitation to embrace all of life, not divided up into the holy bits and all the other realms of reality. And to me, this is the challenge and invitation to live an honest life, to be real. Australians have a word for this, fair dinkum. And that is what has become the call of God on my life, to be fair dinkum. Genuine in my response to God, in my living with God in everything, in God's world. But most importantly, here is a vision of God as living truth in the world, in what is happening. And this is an immensely welcoming God, an inviting God, who calls us to honesty and adventure. Whoever we are, wherever we are. This is a God who challenges Nicodemus to come out of the dark and into the light. Which brings us back to John's Gospel. This passage invites all who are alive to the winds of the Spirit, everyone who has been drawn into the light of God, to join in a community. In this community, there is room for many stories. Maybe we're like Nicodemus. Maybe we have other questions. Deep questions, serious questions. Maybe we have needs and longings and fears. We come. We are here with our different questions and different ideas and things that we might hope for, our failures, our dreams. But we are all drawn into this one community of the Spirit, the light. God so loved the world, all the world.